Where do we go?
This is Buccaneers Total Access, with head coach Dirk Cotter.
Fire the cannons!
Brought to you by Frontier Communications. Fios keeps you in the game. Visit FrontierFlorida.com to join the team.
Winston looking left, goes a deep route toward Mike Evans. He hangs on, touchdown Tampa Bay! Mike Evans goes up and takes it away from two defenders. What a great throw by Winston!
Now your host, Bucs insider Casey Phillips, and head coach Dirk Cotter.
Welcome in to this Friday afternoon, Black Friday afternoon. I hope you guys are all being safe out there as the crowds are going nuts. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We are so excited you're spending some of your Thanksgiving weekend here with us. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Casey?
Wonderful. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. How about you?
Wonderful, wonderful, for sure. And I want to make sure everybody has a chance to get those questions in, and you can use the hashtag BucsRadio on Twitter. You can also submit them in the Bucs app under the feature section, or you can give us a call. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. All right, let's go ahead and get rocking here, Coach. Our first question comes from Joel, who wants to know, did you plan to go to Godwin on those key moments in the final drive? And if so, what had he done to show you that he could be trusted in crunch time?
Yeah, that was just the play calls were planned, but who was in the game on one of those? Mike Evans had just run a deep route the play before. And a lot of times after a guy runs a deep route, we substitute for him. You know, he's 40 or 50 yards downfield, so we sub for that player. And I mean, we're confident with Chris Godwin or Adam Humphries in there at any point for Mike or Deshaun. You know, wideouts are the one position where 64 plays in an average offensive game, those guys can't run 64 40-yard sprints. I mean, you just can't do it. So, it was just kind of luck of the draw that Chris was in there, and he did a good job on both plays.
All right, Jen said, what was going through your mind when it was time for Pat Murray to go in there and kick the game winner?
Knock it through, baby. Knock it through.
That's awesome. All right, Scott wants to know, since we got to hear that Rondé, Lynch, and Simeon Rice all made it to the finalists for the Hall of Fame, what would be your case that you would make for all three of them to go in?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not qualified to speak on that. You know, that'd be Coach Gruden or Coach Dungy or Ira Kaufman's the Hall of Fame voter. I mean, I just know they were all really, really fantastic players for the Bucs, but I wouldn't be able to make the case.
All right, well, good. Scott asked a part two of that question. He said, which one would you most want on your team now when they were in their prime?
Oh, all three of them, for sure. I couldn't pick one. I'd love to have any of those three.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet when they're getting nominated for the Hall of Fame, but they would all be pretty good additions here. All right, so Luis says, how much is it next man up for an injury, and how much of it is adapting what you do or play calling for the personnel that you have available? And the example he gives is Robert Ayers.
Well, it's both. It's both next man up, and it is adapting your play calling. It's both of those things, because you never know how much time you're going to have to make. You know, like if you're in the middle of a game and a guy gets hurt, you're not going to change your game plan too much in the middle of a game. You know, just slightly. You don't have time to plan it. If you had weeks to make changes, then you might do something a little bit different, but. You know, it just depends on the circumstances, but both of those things come into play.
Alex says, I heard you say in a press conference recently that Fitzpatrick is one of the favorite guys in the locker room. So who are some of the other guys that seem to really lift the team morale and be really good glue guys, as they say?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if I did say that about Ryan being one of the most popular guys. I would assume he might be, but I'm not in the locker room that much. But we have a lot of good glue guys. Keith Tandy, Jacquizz Rodgers, Luke Stocker, Joe Hawley. There's a bunch of guys that Cam Lynch, you know, guys that, you know, they're not necessarily first line starters right now. They have been at one time in their career, but they're guys that show up to work every day, do their job, and then also keep it a little bit loose.
Alex had also asked as a part two of that question, how much a guy's ability to be a glue guy helps keep him on a roster when, like you said, especially the ones that aren't starters as much?
A lot.
All right. I
mean, every team needs it. Every team needs those glue guys. And, you know, everybody can't be a starter. Everybody wants to be a starter. That's important to know. I mean, all these guys want to be starters. All of them, you know, believe that they can be starters, and they've all been, you know, stars at in their college career or sometimes earlier in their pro career. But, you know, it's a job, it's a profession, and you know, the players have to control what they control, and, you know, playing time is not always their decision. Sometimes that's a coach's decision. But yes, every team needs glue guys. Whether you study history and, you know, you look at Michael Jordan and the Bulls, or, you know, Vince Lombardi and the Packers, every team has glue guys.
I'm excited to hear your answer on this next one. Jessica said that she heard on our Monday radio show with the O-line that Joe Hawley had been targeted a couple times with pass plays, and she was wondering, was that with you in Atlanta?
Yeah, it was. You know, at different times in Atlanta, Joe wasn't starting yet at center, and we used him a couple times as a jumbo tight end, and we didn't have our fullback. We used him against the Redskins one game against as a fullback, and he was running a check down route. He was in there mainly for protection and for run blocking, but he was in there, and Matt Ryan kind of scrambled, and he checked it down to Joe, and let's just say it wasn't the most flattering play of Joe's career. And I thought Smitty was getting ready to fire me after that one. But to Joe's credit, he had a play on the goal line where he was the lead blocker as a fullback, where I've never seen, it was an unbelievable hit he put on London Fletcher, their middle linebacker. London Fletcher's a heck of a player. So, having Joe in there at fullback had its pluses and minuses.
That's pretty great. Well, then she also wanted to know, did this ruin your desire to try plays to O-linemen?
No. We hit, I think it was Mike Johnson, a lineman out of University of Alabama. We hit him for a touchdown on the goal line one year in Atlanta. And, you know, whoever right now our jumbo tight end, we haven't used them quite as much this year, but Caleb Beninock and Leonard Wester, you know, they've been rotating as our jumbo tight ends when they're active this year. And, you know, on all of our passes we use on the goal line, they're involved in those.
The final part of her question was, who would you most trust to catch a touchdown pass from the O-line?
Oh boy! Whatever I say, the other 10 guys are going to be mad. So I'll go with Damar Dotson based on his college basketball background at Southern Miss.
There we go. I like it. All right. Our next question is from Peter, and he says, "Do you ever worry about what the level is that makes players overwhelmed or overthink things when it comes to game planning? And is it different for each player or each team?"
That's a very good question. And yes, I worry about it all the time. And yes, in my opinion, it's different for each player. And in my opinion, it's also different for each team you play. And I ask the other offensive coaches all the time, are we making this too complicated? Or do we have too much in this area? You know, just when you've done game plans for a long time, it's just like anything else. You know, you sometimes have a feeling that maybe it's too much or not enough, that you don't have enough, you know, stuff in your game plan. And then when you watch practice, if the guys are struggling in a certain area, sometimes, you know, you always ask yourself, is it because we have too much in, or because they just didn't study enough, or because they were off half a day eating Thanksgiving dinner?
I like that. Okay, Nate had a question. He said, Coach, it's been a few weeks since I asked you, and you said you would need to look into it. So I was wondering if you'd gotten the chance to see who would be the emergency punter and kicker if both Murray and Anger were out.
Well, it's funny that he brings that up because the Chargers just got in that situation the other day. And I have to be honest, I have not done a good job of looking into that. But I guarantee you that our special teams coach, Nate Katzer, I guarantee you, if we got him on speed dial right now, maybe I'll call him up during the commercial. That's what when we get to the commercial, I'll shoot Nate a text, and we'll circle back on that in the next. I'll text him right now. We'll circle back on
it. I like it. We got the breaking news here on Bucks Radio. We had another question related to that. Who Chris brought up the Chargers game and said, would it make you go for two more or use Anger? So in this situation, he's saying you only have lost Murray. You haven't lost Anger. Would you trust Brian Anger enough to go for field goals and extra points still, or would you just try to go for two and go for it on fourth down?
Anger just told me today that he's money inside of 40 yards.
Ooh. So
I'd take him at his word. Otherwise,
we definitely don't want to see this come to it, but now it's like, man, Anger's got a lot of confidence there in this. Want to see if he's right. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we still have plenty of time here for you to get your questions in. You can submit them under the Bucks app in the feature section, or you can use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. And one more time, here are your phone numbers. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications, now continues with head coach Dirk Cutter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in, everyone. Excited to have you spending part of your Friday afternoon with us, especially during this holiday weekend. Hope everyone's been having fun with friends and family and staying safe. Still plenty of time for you to get some questions in for head coach Dirk Cutter. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. You can also submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app or give us a call. All right, coach, we got a question from David here, and he says, to get Evans even more involved in the offense, have you thought about lining him up as Y and Z to get him on a linebacker or nickel?
Well, yeah, of course, and we do move Mike inside. You got to remember, the last 2 years, Mike's the most targeted receiver in the NFL, so we've moved him all over the place. But you got to remember, the defense has the chalk last on that. I mean, if they're in man-to-man coverage, which a lot of teams are nowadays, they're going to bring their corners and or their nickels inside. You know, Mike sees a lot of teams that match up on him. So if it's zone coverage, we do put Mike inside, and Mike got one of those catches down the middle last week. Mike had four explosive plays in Miami last week, and one of those plays, if you remember, we motioned Charles Sims outside of Mike, got Mike on the linebacker with a safety over the top, and hit him for a 20-something yard gain.
That's awesome. All right, Don's question for you. What is a game day routine like for you?
A lot of waiting around. A lot of waiting around. So, you know, I'm up early on game day, and usually I try to get a little workout in, get some coffee going, and you know, reviewing all of the game notes. We have our pregame meal 4 hours before kickoff, so 9 a.m. for a 1 o'clock kickoff, and then if it's a home game, I go right to the stadium right after that. So I'm at the stadium, you know, 3 hours and 40 minutes before the game. If it's a road game, we usually get to the stadium. We have two different bus times. I usually take the first bus. I always take the first bus. And, you know, you're at the stadium 3 hours before. Again, studying your notes, kind of just killing time, talking to players a little bit, checking out the field if we're on the road. Sometimes talking to friends. I always have a book with me in case I am getting too nervous. The waiting is I'm not nervous at all during the game. I'm nervous before the game, and it seems like those 2 or 3 hours take about a week.
I can totally understand that. All right, Lee says, what are the challenges of play calling that we might not know about?
Well, the time. You know, that the second a play ends, the 40-second clock starts. So, you know, there's always stuff that's happening right at the end of a play. You know, guys that are asking to come out, you know, or subbing out because they're tired, getting your personnel in, getting your next play called, seeing if it's a first down or it's a second down or whatever. So, you know, the thing that you're always up against is the play clock. So from that second that play ends, you can talk to the quarterback up till 15 seconds. So you got 25 seconds in there that you can talk to the quarterback. Now, most times, almost all the time, you know, we talk to them much quicker than that, so they have time to call the play and make their adjustments up at the line of scrimmage. But yeah, it's a lot different. It's a lot easier calling them from your couch. Believe me, I'm sitting here watching UCF and USF on TV, and I'm a terrific play caller when I'm sitting here watching it on TV.
Yeah, I like that. It's like the armchair quarterbacks out there too. All right, so Johnson says, this is probably one of the more observant questions I've ever seen. I noticed Ali Marpet in on field goal unit and didn't think he normally does that. Is that true? And if so, had he practiced it before this?
Yeah, he practiced it. He had to go in the Miami game when Evan Smith got injured in the second quarter. You only have 7 O-linemen up on game day, and typically we don't have our starting center in there, but you only have so many guys. And, you know, when 46 guys up on game day, everybody's got to be willing to help. Will Golston is also a player that we use when he's up, when he's active. He's usually on the field goal protection team. So your blockers on field goal are usually your O-linemen, some D-linemen, and your tight ends.
All right, we're talking to head coach Dirk Cutter here on Bucks Radio. We have a question from Keith, and it's appropriate since you were talking about watching college football. He asked what the biggest difference is in coaching college players as compared to coaching NFL players.
Well, the majority of college players don't have families, and in the pros, you got guys that are grown men. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, has 5 or 6 kids. Gerald McCoy has kids. So, you know, in college, you rarely even have a player that's married. You know, almost everybody in the NFL has a significant other. And, you know, guys are getting paid. You guys are getting paid to do a job. It's not just you don't have 110. When I was a coach at Arizona State, we carried between 110 and 115 guys.
Wow.
On our team. So, you know, you have a lot less people involved, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to supervise. Are they going to class? Are they going to study hall? Are they, you know, meeting with their tutors? I mean, it's all football, and the game is much faster. I mean, if you sit down and try to, the NFL's got it figured out that the NFL game takes almost exactly right at 3 hours. These college games last like 4 hours. I mean, it's just hard to, it's a lot longer. And, you know, with the advent of the spread offense in college, it's just a lot different game. Defenses don't do nearly as much in college football as they do in the NFL.
Yeah, that's really interesting. All right, Rob wants to know, are you excited to see the new Atlanta stadium?
A little bit. I'm more excited to win in the new Atlanta stadium. But, I keep a little notebook of all the stadiums that I've been at in my career as a coach or as a player even, and I think I'm in the 120s somewhere as far as number of stadiums, and so we're going to be adding one to it on Sunday, and I've heard nothing but great things about this stadium, and you know, that'll be one of the things that comes in during that pregame routine, but then once the game starts, you're totally focused on the game.
Wow, 120s, that's pretty awesome. And that plays well into the next question we had. Actually, Nick wanted to know, do you have a favorite NFL stadium?
Raymond James Stadium.
Okay, how about a favorite other than that one?
Shoot, I don't know. I mean, any place where you can get a win on the road. you know, I was talking to the players last week about winning on the road, and I saw an article by Mark Schlereth, who's doing TV now and played 12 years in the NFL, won 3 Super Bowls with the Broncos. And Mark Schlereth said that the 2 hardest places he thought to play in the NFL were Arrowhead in Kansas City and the Superdome in New Orleans. And, you know, over the last couple of years, we've won in both those places. So, but anytime you can get a win on the road, that becomes one of your favorites.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, Bill wants to know, how is the Atlanta offense different from last year with a new coordinator, or is it?
It's the same structure. It's the same structure, but every coordinator puts their own little spin on it. You know, they've got their own plays that, you know, that they like, their own pet plays or their go-to plays. You know, Steve Sarkisian just has a little bit different flavor than Kyle Shanahan did. You know, I think Kyle Shanahan was really committed to the outside zone, and seems like Sarkisian, even though they still run outside zone, they do some other things in the running game as well. You know, one thing I can tell from watching Atlanta's offense is, even though, you know, Matt Ryan's been under 4 or 5 different coordinators now in his career, and I can tell that, you know, Matt has taken things from every coordinator he's been under, and he has a lot of say in what they do. So even though there's some new things that Sarkisian's brought, you know, you can see a lot of things that Matt Ryan has carried over from all the previous coordinators he's had.
Mike said, as an offensive mind, I wanted to get your take on what Sean McVay has done with Jared Goff and that Rams offense.
Well, I haven't watched the Rams too much. I'd love to have enough time in my day to watch them more. Obviously, he's done a heck of a job because, you know, people were ready to run Jared Goff out of the league. And, you know, at this point, he's having a heck of a year, as are the Rams. You know, one thing that I heard mentioned by someone in the media, actually, the other day, was that they thought two of the biggest, or maybe the biggest free agent the Rams got in the offseason was Whitworth at left tackle, that they had, they now had 2 premium NFL offensive linemen. I think it's their center and their left tackle. And then they got the 2 new wide receivers from Buffalo. And then Gurley, the halfbacks, also having a, you know, he didn't have as good a year last year. He had a much better year his first year in the league. But obviously, Coach McVay has done a heck of a job, but I'm not qualified to say exactly what he's done.
All right. Rick wants to know, who will have the best shot for us at covering Julio Jones and why?
Well, our best cover guy is Brent Grimes. And the reason why is because he's our best cover guy.
There so, you go.
He's one of the best cover guys in the league. So, but we'll be sharing the responsibilities. You know, we typically don't match. We typically play sides with our corners. But, you know, a lot of times teams stay away from Brent Grimes. And I know when I was in Atlanta with Matt Ryan and Brent Grimes at the same time, Matt Ryan tried to stay away from Brent Grimes when he could. Now, you know, that was a few years ago, and that doesn't mean he's never going to throw to his side. But, yeah, Brent would have the best bet. Atlanta's got a lot of other talented players. You know, Sanu and Gabriel are both very capable as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the whole sides versus matching up, because Jason had actually asked, what is the motivation for doing one versus the other? Is it what you do as a team or what the other team does that dictates whether or not you should be sides or manning up?
I think it's just philosophy, your defensive philosophy. Some teams go back and forth. You know, some teams will match some weeks and not match others. Like for Atlanta, for instance, Trufant rarely matches. He almost always plays on the offensive right, but then out of the blue last year, they had him match Mike Evans in one of the games we played him. So, you know, that's something that could change. You know, we have matched before. We just don't do it very often.
All right. Danny said, what is the key for our ability to create turnovers since we've done it so well, and will it work as well against Atlanta as it did in Miami?
I sure hope so. I hope it works. You know, if you can't really put your finger on it. I mean, our defensive coaches and our defensive players stress it all the time. They practice it all the time. They're always working strip drills and tip drills and playing the ball in the air. They talk about it. Our linebackers, you know, Levante David's one of the best in the league at stripping. Sometimes even to a fault. Sometimes we have a tendency to maybe try to hold guys up a little bit too much and strip instead of just worry about getting them down. And then as far as interceptions go, we always think that, you know, that they come in bunches, and last week was a good example of that, and last year was a good example of that.
Yeah, and Danny had also followed it up wondering, why is Levante so good at the strip part of it, and how is that a thing that you can teach some of the other guys?
Yeah, well, I think there's just some players have a knack for certain skills, and, you know, that's definitely one that Levante definitely has a knack for that. And he does work with the other guys, as does Coach Duffner, our linebacker coach. They do strip drills every single day in the linebacker drills. But, you know, Levante's been playing a while. He's one of the best linebackers in the league. And, you know, he's just got a good feel for it. Why does some players have a great knack for rushing the passer and another guy for covering a receiver and cutting in front of an out route? I mean, that's just, you know, that's what these guys are paid to do, and some guys get really good at certain aspects of it.
All right, Nathan said, you made the comment that people wanted to run Goff out of the league, and now he's a media darling. 2 weeks ago, people were talking about the Bucs season maybe being over. How hard is it to convey to your team to shut out the naysayers?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because we live in a society now where, you know, social media is so big, and guys, when they leave our facility, they're being talked to by their families, their agents, their spouses, their kids even, who get it at school from their friends. And then, you know, you got the whole social media thing. There's tons of examples of players, not just our players, but all kinds of players that, you know, they're on Twitter or whatever other form of social media they're on. And it's hard to shut out the noise. And, you know, sometimes that can be a positive thing. And then other times it can be a negative thing. So, you know, I just try to talk to our guys about, you know, not letting anybody else define what we can and can't do, because, you know, there's certain people out there that get paid to talk about football, and they really don't know everything. They're just basing their opinions on little parts of it that they see, and, you know, it's part of it. That's what they're paid to do. They have a job to do also.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Still plenty of time for you to get your questions in. For head coach Dirk Cutter, you can send them in using hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter. You can submit them under the feature section on the Bucs app, or you can give us a call. I'll give you those phone numbers one last time, 813-990-4620, Pinellas 727-461-4620, and toll-free 888-546-4620. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications with head coach Dirk Cutter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in here. We are so thrilled you're spending part of your afternoon with us. Hope you're having a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. We're just past the halfway point here with head coach Dirk Cutter, which means there's still plenty of time for you to get your questions in for him. Use that hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter or submit them in the feature section of the Bucs app, or you can give us a call. All right, coach, our next one is from Sal, and he says, what are your expectations for how Golston can play upon his return, and what does he bring to the line?
Well, Will's strength is that of a run stopper. And, you know, once a player returns from an injury, you know, you expect him to get in there and do what they're paid to do. Now, you know, sometimes there's a little transition period where they're a little bit rusty, but that never seems to last more than one game at the most. But, you know, Will was excited to be out there practicing again, and I know he's excited to get out there and play again. And so, you know, Will's primary job is to control the C-gap. You know, he usually plays across from the tight end, and he tries to control the area between the tight end and the offensive tackle. That's his specialty.
And Sal also wanted to know, does it help make up for Ayers being out a little bit?
Well, different types of players. Will's more of a strong side end in our system, and Robert Ayers can play any position, but mostly plays more of an open side defensive end. So, you know, all your defensive linemen are double trained to play multiple positions. So, you know, Robert Ayers' assignments will be absorbed more by guys like Ryan Russell and Will Clark than. But having Will back is definitely going to be a plus.
And then Tom wanted to know, what is it like for you as a head coach who knows these players so well to watch an injury like Golston's?
Well, you don't want to see any players get hurt. That's the worst part of the game. I mean, you know, Vernon Hargraves is out with a hamstring right now, and I know it's driving him crazy. He's, you know, you ask any player, no one wants to stand on the sideline and watch practice. Jameis, you know, Jameis is chomping at the bit to get back out there and play. These guys, they're football players. They want to play. Anytime they get hurt, you feel bad. Now, when a player stays down on the field, you know, after you've seen enough of them, you think, okay, that could be a knee, that could be an ankle, that could be a shoulder. But you never like to see when the trainer is calling for the cart and it's a head or neck injury. I mean, that's something that just sends chills up everybody. You know, no one wants to see that. I mean, that's again, injuries are just by far the worst part. There's so many good things with football, but injuries and possible serious injuries. So, you know, we're thankful. After the New Orleans game that Will was able to come back with us that night, and he's been improving ever since, and, you know, ready to get him back out there this week.
Absolutely. Definitely happy to have him back out there. All right. Sarah wants to know, with Evan Smith out, is this a benefit of rotating him and Pamphill because it won't be like a normal backup having to step up that hasn't played?
Yes, definitely. Definitely is. You know, Kevin will just, you know, be the full-time player. And, you know, it'll give Joe Hawley a chance to be active this game. He hasn't been active this year. He's been impatiently, probably is a better word, impatiently waiting his chance to get up for a game. And he'll get it this week. And hopefully, you know, we can get Evan back soon. You know, once a player goes into the concussion protocol, both he and Robert Ayers are in the concussion protocol, then there's a five-step process that's fairly complicated. I think that concussion protocol thing is one of the best things, though, that the league has done to address head injuries. I think it's a really good plan.
All right, we've got a couple Thanksgiving questions here. You know, these are the very serious questions that we break here on Bucks Radio. Jack wants to know, how much did you eat yesterday, and what are your can't-live-without foods on Thanksgiving?
I ate way too much, and I'm right after this radio show, I'm going to do it again.
So obviously you do not regret it.
Oh, I regret it. I've been beating myself up, but you know, you can't let those leftovers go to waste.
Oh, and yeah, of course not.
My family was out of town, so I was a steak and potato man this year, and I made plenty to have left over, and I'll be watching football and eating warmed up steak and potatoes right after this radio show. But my can't go without is turkey stuffing, cranberry sauce. That's my go-to.
I love it. You're rocking the bachelor Thanksgiving life right now. It's pretty great. All right, and then related to this, I love this question. Doug wants to know, did you or the team nutritionist tell the players not to overeat on Thanksgiving?
No, we didn't tell them. I asked Gerald McCoy when I was leaving after practice today, I asked Gerald what he was going to do this afternoon, and he said he was going to try to sleep off all the bad stuff he ate yesterday. I heard lots of players commenting when I was in Atlanta and in Jacksonville, we used to have a Golden Gobbler Award. We'd make the players weigh in on Thanksgiving morning and then weigh in the next morning and see who had the biggest weight gain. And I think we had the record was 17 pounds.
Oh my gosh! Can you divulge who that was?
That probably wouldn't be good. but they, let's just say this: they were over 300 to start.
Yeah, so didn't exactly have a whole lot of room here for this. That is impressive. Is this a tradition we might bring here? Because I very much would love to hear that happen in this locker room.
Well, I'm going to put you in charge of that, Casey.
I'm sure they'll love hearing that from me. I'm sure they'll totally love hearing that from me. I love it. All right, we had our next question from Joe, and he said, when is it acceptable to start decorating for the holidays or playing holiday music, before or after Thanksgiving? Please help me settle a bet with my wife.
After Thanksgiving, definitely.
See, this is why I love you, Coach. This is the right answer. There was no hesitation. That was the correct answer. All right. Ryan says, knowing Devontae Freeman is out for the Falcons, how much does that change what they can do offensively?
Well, when you watched their game against Seattle the other night, it didn't look like it changed them at all. You know, they added T.J. Ward's younger brother, Terron Ward, who's their third running back. They just moved everybody up one and kept rolling. They kept rotating. But, you know, they have, when they're healthy, they have such a two-headed attack at running back. I mean, both guys, I don't know if there's a team in the league that can roll two guys out there that are that talented, both as explosive runners and dangerous receivers. So when you take a guy like Devontae Freeman out, it's definitely got to hurt. But at the same time, I think Atlanta is deep at running back.
That's true. All right. Paul says, why has third down defense been a struggle? At first, it seemed like it was fixed by forcing them into third and long situations, but then even that seemed like it didn't work as well against Miami.
Well, that's absolutely true. We got them in third and long against Miami, and in the second half, they converted five in a row of third and nine plus, and then we finally got a stop. Yeah, it's crazy. We can't really put our finger on it. You know, how did we go from the best team in the league on third down last year to towards the bottom is where we're sitting right now. And the only thing that continually shows up on film is just, you know, between your rush and your mid-lane coverage, your midline coverage, and your deep coverage, it seems like we tend to get one of those three out of sync instead of always working together. When we do work together, we seem to do okay. But, you know, if we either cover good and give the quarterback too long to throw, or we get, you know, adequate pressure, you know, enough where the quarterback has to get it out, and we have a miscue in coverage. But, you know, we're definitely working on it, and something that, you know, to win games consistently, we have to correct.
All right, and Richie has a two-part question here. First part is, how important was it to get a road win? And then the second part was, had it just been a coincidence that the wins were at home, or was there actually something about the road that seemed to be affecting the team?
Yeah, I don't buy into that thing about something about the road affecting the team. You know, we were a good road team last year. We were 5-3 on the road a year ago. So the formula in the NFL is win your home games and go 500 on the road. You know, if you could do that, you'd be 12-4 every year. Now, that's a lot easier said than done. But to answer the question, yes, it was great to get a road win. No, I do not think there's anything to that. I mean, you know, I just think that we have that Buffalo game, for example. I mean, you know, until the last 4 minutes of the game, we played good enough to win that game. Last 3 minutes of the game, we played good enough to win that game on the road. There's no, we have no one to blame but ourselves. And so, you know, ask any coach and they'll tell you, and any player, that good teams are going to win whether they're on the road or at home.
All right. Tony wants to know, and you kind of answered a little bit of this earlier, saying you're watching that USF game. But he said, do you get to watch much college football during the season, or is that more of an off-season only activity and more of a scouting-related thing for you?
Well, the scouting, I watch a ton of stuff in the off-season scouting-wise, but, you know, that's different than watching it on TV. You're watching the scout copies, and, you know, there's no sound, and you got it's the coach's video, so you got the wide shot and then the end zone shot. So if you're evaluating players, that's the best way to do it. But, you know, like right now, I'm watching UCF and USF, I can watch multiple games at once. It's just, I have a hard time really focusing on it. I like to just kind of keep an eye on it. And a lot of times I like to watch those West Coast games, but I can't stay awake for those 10:30 starts. 10:30 is about my bedtime on Saturday nights.
Yeah. Sean wants to know, if you weren't a coach, would you play fantasy football?
You know what? I'm embarrassed to say this, but I couldn't even tell you the rules of fantasy football. When I hear those guys talking about points and all that stuff, I couldn't tell you the first thing about it. So right now the answer would be no, because I don't even know the rules.
That's pretty great. He also asked, his part two was, are you surprised by how intense it's gotten?
I am. I am surprised. And, you know, again, I'm not a big participant in social media, but to hear our players talk, you know, they can't believe how mad people get at them if they don't play well and they have them on their fantasy team. I mean, people get irate over that. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it speaks to the popularity of the league, but it's almost gotten so popular that, I think there's also a little bit of a downside to it too. Although, again, I shouldn't even talk about that because I don't really understand it.
Yeah, but maybe people need to take it easy on the guys that, aren't listening to their needs for fantasy. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We still have one more segment coming up here with head coach Dirk Cutter. You can still get your questions in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio or submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app, or you can give us a call. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter now continues. Brought to you by Frontier Communications on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in here to our final segment on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter. You still have a few minutes to get those last second questions in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter or submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app, or you can give us a call. And all right, well, our next one here is from Roger, and he wants to know, if you could play any position on an NFL team, regardless of physical ability or what you've played in the past, just anything you get to play, what would it be?
Well, I'm not even close to good enough to play in the NFL, but if I could, I'd probably say quarterback.
Shocking. Didn't see that coming at all. All right. David wants to know, this is interesting, would you want your kids to be coaches?
No, but my oldest daughter already is. And I'm sure at least one of my other three kids will be, but I would want my kids to do whatever makes them happy, but I would always point out the pitfall of coaching.
I love it. All right. We had a question from Chris from Dunedin on the app, and he said, first of all, he said, holiday greetings. And then he said, if needed, could Jameis come in the Falcons game, or is he too hurt even for that?
Well, he couldn't, because he's not going to be active. You know, of your 53 guys on your roster, you can only have 46 active. So you have to deactivate 90 minutes before the game. You have to deactivate seven players, and then, you know, you can activate them again the next week if you want to. So Jameis will be one of our seven deactivations, just because he's not cleared to play right now.
All right, and Titus wants to know, what are your favorite and least favorite parts of your job?
My favorite is doing this radio show.
I knew it, Coach. Good answer, even though it's wrong, but that's all right.
KP, you're funny. no, my favorite part is interacting with the players and practice. I love practice and the games. I mean, heck, the games are the most exciting 3 hours. Your heart's beating the whole time. Everything's fast paced. You know, my least favorite is probably the injuries. You know, seeing players get hurt.
That's very true. I think that sounds very accurate. Mark wants to know, what would you quantify as your coaching method or persona if you were to describe the type of coach that you are?
Yeah, I get asked that from time to time, and I don't think any coach really wants to answer that question, because that's really something that only the players can answer. And I would just say the one thing is that no matter how many coaches you studied under or how many coaches you learned under, and, you know, I've taken stuff from every coach I've been with, I've worked for or worked on a staff with, you got to be yourself. I mean, you've got to coach your own style. You can't be somebody else. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to categorize it. I think that's something only players can answer.
Okay. Rome says, now that you're a coach, do you ever look back at yourself as a player and wish you had cut your coaches more slack?
Well, now that I'm a coach, I've been coaching for 35 years. I wish I had the knowledge when I was a player. I wish I had this 35 years of knowledge that I have now. I would have been a much better player. But my dad was my high school coach, and believe me, there was no slack. I was getting my butt chewed every day, no matter what.
That sounds about right. Sometimes being the coach's kid is the worst spot to be in. People think you get special treatment. It's actually the opposite. All right, Reggie wants to know, what does the team do on the road, like film or meetings, and is it the same as home game weekends?
Yeah, we try to keep a similar schedule. So, you know, on Saturdays, we practice. We have a practice. We have meetings and walkthrough in the morning. So the players, you know, have meetings starting about 9:30. On Saturday morning, we have a walkthrough from 11 to 11:30, and then we travel Saturday afternoons, or the players would be off. And then when we get either at home or on the road, we have a mass and chapel service that's voluntary for the players at 7:30. At 8 o'clock, we have a special teams meeting that lasts for 15 minutes. 8:15 to 8:45, we have offense defense meetings where we go over last minute reminders and adjustments. At 8:45, we have a team meeting where I address the team. Sometimes players speak to the team, and then we usually have some kind of a highlight video to watch of them, usually of the previous week if it was a good week. And then that's it. They have a snack. They have a little food gathering after that in a meal room, and bed check at 11 o'clock. And then we get up and do our morning routine, pregame meal, and head to the stadium. That's what's great about 1 o'clock games. I mean, you get up and you play, and love those 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we wanted to know from Jordan. He said, what was something that surprised you about being a head coach? And we've got about 1 minute here.
Oh, 1 minute's not enough, Casey. I don't know if I could. It's just that it's something, you know, there's new stuff every day. I mean, you can't predict what's going to happen. There's always going to be stuff that comes up every day that needs your attention, or that demands your attention. And you know, you just got to be ready for anything, and you got to try to keep a level head, and you know, not let people that are trying to tear your team apart get under your skin, which isn't always easy.
Yeah, that's very true. One of the many things that is a lot easier said than done as a head coach. Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate you taking time out of your Friday to talk to us here. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and have a great weekend this weekend. Looking forward to that W in Atlanta and that new stadium. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.